of praise today. Jesus, I love you. I thank you, God. You're worthy, God. We give you the praise and the glory. What an awesome God you are. What a mighty God you are. We bless your name, Jesus. God, I love you. I thank you, Lord. Have your way in this place today. We need you, God. We need you, Jesus. If you would turn in your Bibles with me to Matthew chapter 26 and verse 75. Matthew chapter 26, verse 75. I'm going to read it out of the ESV. It says, "And Peter remembered the saying of Jesus, 'Before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times.' And he went out and he wept bitterly." I want to ask God to help us today. Humbly, God, I come before you. I ask that your will would be done in this place. God, help me to give the word that you've given me. I pray that you would help us, God, to leave different and change today. We give you all the glory and praise in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. The verse that I started out reading has a little bit of a backstory. That main character, Peter, has been found guilty of denying the Lord not once, not twice, but three times. And while many then and even now do this to Jesus, in our world today, there's many that have turned and denied him and turned their back on what they've had as a calling. But Peter's stands out for a couple different reasons that I want to look at. The story, it starts out the night before as Jesus is giving what is known as the Last Supper. And along with some arguing between the disciples about who's going to be the greatest in the kingdom of heaven, as Jesus is wrapping up this Passover meal, he turns to Peter and he says in Luke 22 verse 31. Again, I'm going to read it out of the ESV. It says, "Simon, Simon," that was Peter's other name, "Simon, Simon, behold, Satan demanded to have you that he might sift you like wheat. But I have prayed for you that your faith may not fail. When you have turned again, strengthen your brothers." Now, Peter, with his personality, is not one that wants his loyalty to be questioned. Peter is the type of person that rides for the brand. And although Peter is known for being impulsive and sometimes having a very brash nature, one thing that he does not like is the fact that Jesus would question his loyalty, question whether he was really sold out. And so Peter quickly answers. The next verse in 33, he says, "And he said unto him, Lord, I am ready to go with thee, both into prison and to death. Lord, I'm so sold out to you and your mission that I'm willing to go to prison with you, or even death if that's what it takes. Lord, I'm not about to compromise my loyalty to you." But the next verse, Jesus says, "I tell you, Peter, that the rooster will not crow this day until you deny me three times, that you deny three times that you know me." And just picture in his mind, Peter thinking, there's no way. Look at how passionately I've served you the last couple years. Look how I've followed you through thick and thin. There's no way this is going to happen. In fact, Mark, in his account of this, gives us a little bit better picture of this in chapter 14, verse 31. When Peter, he spake the more vehemently, "If I should die with you, I would not deny thee in any wise." And likewise also said they all. The rest of the disciples said the same thing. "Lord, we're going to follow you. We're going to, whatever comes, whatever trials, whatever you go through, we're going to be there." And so this story continues as they leave the Passover and they head to the mountain to pray. Mark 14:32 says, "And they went to a place called Gethsemane, and he said to his disciples, 'Sit here while I pray.' And he took with him Peter and James and John, and began to be greatly distressed and troubled. And he said to them, 'My soul is very sorrowful, even to death. Remain here and watch. Jesus goes on a little further and he begins to pray fervently. And then comes back after a while to his disciples. And verse 37 says, he came and found them sleeping. And he said to Peter, Simon, are you asleep? Could you not watch 1 hour? Pray, watch and pray that ye may not enter into temptation. For the spirit is indeed willing, but the flesh is weak. And I can picture Peter saying, yes, sir. And feeling like he understood what Jesus was saying and, you know, kind of chiding himself or falling asleep. But just like what Jesus told him earlier that evening, there was more to it than just the words, what Peter heard. Verse 39 says, and Jesus went away again and prayed, saying the same words. And he came and found them sleeping, for their eyes were very heavy, and they did not know what to answer him. This time, Peter is caught again, having fallen asleep, having basically not been able to stay and walk with God on this incredibly crucial night. His tired flesh is making this prayer session very difficult. I don't know if anybody's experienced that before, the times that you seem like you can't pray 10 minutes without getting sleepy. 10 minutes seems like eternity as we're trying to pray, but your mind is just all over and you're so tired and you sleep. And so in verse 41, he came the third time and said to them, are you still sleeping and taking your rest? It's enough. The hour has come. The Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us be going. See, my betrayer is at hand. And I just thought, you know, Jesus had told them to watch and pray. And we don't know what the story would have been like had they stayed awake and diligently be in prayer and diligently have been watching and alert. Would one of them have alerted Jesus and said, look, who's coming? Look, there's people coming. Your betrayer is coming. Look. But they were asleep. Their flesh had taken over. They were tired. And so Jesus wakes them up and says, hey, the time has come that I'm now going to be taken. And Peter and the disciples, I don't know that they fully realized or comprehended that this was going to be their last prayer meeting with Jesus. I don't know if they really comprehended the fact that what he had told them earlier that evening, that he was going to die in just a number of hours. I don't know if any of them really comprehended the depth of his words of caution to watch and pray because of the temptation that they were going to be facing. But now, here's an angry band of soldiers along with Judas, the betrayer, who have come to take Jesus away. And Peter, along with the rest of the disciples, are watching as this is all beginning to unfold. And as Jesus is confronted with one of the disciples that was part of the pack, who has now turned to the other side and betrayed him. And now they've seized Jesus and they've arrested him. And Peter, always quick on his feet, always impulsive, always knowing what to do, uses some logic and some quick thinking, and he gets a bright idea. John 18:10, it says, then Simon Peter, having a sword, he drew it and smote the high priest's servant and cut off his right ear. And the servant's name was Malchus. Then Jesus said unto Peter, put up thy sword into the sheath. The cup which my Father hath given me, shall I not drink it? Jesus rebukes Peter and says, put that away. That's not going to solve the problems. I have to go through with this. I already told you that I was going to die. But Luke 22:51, it says, and Jesus answered and said, suffer ye this far. And he touched this servant's ear and he healed him. Now, I think it's ironic that Jesus, even as he's being arrested for being the so-called Son of God and having all power to heal and to cast out devils, etc., as he's being arrested for this crime, he does a miracle and heals one of the enemy. He goes and he takes time to heal the ear of this servant that Peter has whacked his ear off. How ironic that Jesus, knowing what they're going to do, knowing what their purpose was, he knew what that man's purpose was, but he would take time to heal even in the midst of this difficulty. Matthew 26:56 says, "But all this was done that the scriptures of the prophets might be fulfilled." Look at the last part. It says, "And then all the disciples forsook him and fled." This includes Peter, the one who just a brief time before had said, "Jesus, I'll follow you through prison or even death." And all the other disciples agreed and said, "Yes, Lord, we're in this thing for the long haul. We're not giving up. We're going through it now." Everybody, including Peter, has fled. Peter is having quite a night. And after scattering and everybody goes their directions, they lead Jesus down to the trial that they are going to hold. And Peter decides that I'm going to sneak in and I'm going to watch this trial. So he tries to kind of blend in. He sneaks in and he goes over by a fire and begins to warm himself. And the Bible says in the different accounts of it, when you have Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, it's recorded in all the different Gospels, this story. But one of the accounts talks about how John was known to the high priest, and so Peter was with him and was not known. And whenever he came to the gate, a damsel said, John went and talked and said to let Peter in. And so Peter comes in. As he's going, she says, "Hey, you were with Jesus." This one, Matthew records it this way: as Peter sat without in the palace, as he was outside the palace, a damsel came unto him saying, "Thou wast with Jesus of Galilee." But he denied before them all, saying, "I know not what thou sayest." Strike one, Peter has denied Jesus. He has done the very thing that he said would never happen, that Jesus told him just shortly before, that you are going to deny me. Three times, and it's happened once already. And so Peter's flustered, and he's rattled by the fact that they would do maybe to him what they're doing to Jesus. He's watching, and you can read it through the context of all this as they slap Jesus on the face, and they're mocking him and all this. And Peter's watching, and he's thinking, "Whoa, I don't know that I want to be a part of this." And so Peter, the Bible says in Matthew 26:71, that when he was gone out onto the porch, another maid saw him and said unto them that were there, everybody around, "Hey, this fellow was also with Jesus of Nazareth." And again, Peter, he denies with an oath this time, saying, "I do not know the man." Things are starting to get really uncomfortable for Peter. He had hoped he could just quietly slip in and watch this trial. But now a couple different people have already identified him as being one of Jesus's disciples. And let me just stop and say, we got to be careful in this world when we think we're going to blend in and we're going to just go about with society. Because in reality, when we're one of his, when we've walked with Jesus and we've talked with him and we've lived with him, all of a sudden we can't act like everybody. We don't look like everybody. And you're going to be identified by the world as having been different. But Peter, he denies it both times, up to and including this time he swears that he doesn't know Jesus. And he decides that I'm going to just have to hang out on the porch for a while. And hopefully they'll get focused on that trial again. Got to get away from this heat, because they're starting to connect the dots that I really was with Jesus. But Matthew 26:73 says, "After a little while, the bystanders came up and said to Peter, 'Certainly you too are one of them, for your accent betrays you.'" Other translations talk about how they said, "You are a Galilean. We know you were with Jesus. You sound like those that are from Galilee." And John 18:26 says it this way, that one of the servants of the high priest, being his kinsman whose ear Peter cut off, said, "Did I not see you in the garden with him?" One of the man that Peter lopped off his ear, one of his relatives, looks and says, "Peter, I'm pretty sure I saw you in the garden with Jesus." And not again. Peter's thinking, I can't be incognito tonight. Everybody's figuring out who I am. And so in verse 74, he began to curse on himself and to swear, saying, I do not know the man. And immediately the rooster crowed. The Lord turned, in Luke 22:61, the Lord turned and looked upon Peter. And Peter, all of a sudden, he remembers the word of the Lord, how he had said to him that before the cock crows, you're going to deny me three times. And when Peter's confronted with this, when he remembers and realizes that Jesus had just told him that you're going to deny me and you're going to turn against me, even though you think that you're sold out, even though that you believe that there's nothing that's going to separate you, you've just now denied me not once, not twice, but three times. And so Peter went out and he wept bitterly. And I can only imagine the turmoil and the internal just tearing apart of his heart as he begins to weep and realize that he has not only denied Jesus, but that Jesus heard it. The Bible says Jesus turned and looked at Peter. That means Jesus knew what Peter had done. And Peter loved God. There's no doubt. When you read the Gospels prior to this, you will see where Peter was an all-in type of guy. Peter was sold out to this thing. But when he got in a place of carnality, when he got in a place of not being prayed up, when he got in a place of his flesh being tired, in a place whenever it was difficult to follow Jesus, we find Peter doing what we do sometimes, and he falls and he turns and he denies even knowing Jesus. This event that happened, I believe it changed Peter. You see, before this time, Peter was proud of the fact that he was loyal to Jesus, that he had been committed. He was proud of the fact that he was in the inner circle of Jesus. And this was, Peter was one of the ones that when Jesus took the disciples to pray, the Bible says he left them and then he got Peter, James, and John and he went a little further. Peter was in the inner circle of all this. He had been with Jesus as Jesus did miracles and signs and wonders. He had been hand-selected by Jesus to be a disciple. Peter was the one that had the revelation that Jesus really was indeed the Son of God. And most of all, Peter was the one that Jesus had given the keys to the kingdom to. Read it in Matthew 16, verse 18. A few chapters before, he told Peter, he said, I say unto you that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. That's the power Peter had experienced, he had walked with. He knew what it was like to have power and connection to God. He knew what it was like to literally eat and drink and sleep in the same place as Jesus. He knew what it was like to have a connection with Jesus. But now, the same Peter is a broken man, having denied Jesus, the one that he loved more than anything. When Jesus looked back at Peter, I think Peter realized all of a sudden just how far he had fallen. Sometimes we get so caught up in the moment and so caught up in life that we don't realize how far we really have gone. I mean, Peter, whenever he whacked off the priest's ear, the servant of the high priest's ear, that should have been a warning that maybe he was being a little bit rash and impulsive and using some fleshly logic. When you read it, the account, I believe it's in Mark, the Bible talks about how after the first time that he denied him, the rooster crowed, and how Jesus had told him, according to Mark, that it was gonna crow twice before he had denied him three times. And if we want to even look at that, you could say that first time the rooster crowed ought to have been a warning to Peter that, hey, you're starting to get off track. You're denying me. You're turning from what you know. But it didn't work that way. Peter, he's caught up in the moment. No doubt he's angry. He's confused. He's hurt. He's just, his head's spinning as he's watching Jesus, the one who did miracles, who all devils had to bow down to. He's watching Jesus now in the hands of man being taken to his death. And Peter, I believe he had gotten comfortable in the place of being one of Jesus' select disciples. I believe that when Jesus told Peter that, Peter, I've prayed for you because the devil wants you and wants to sift you like wheat, but you're going to be okay, but I've prayed for you. I believe Peter might have thought, thank you, Lord, I appreciate the prayers, but I don't believe Peter really realized the depths of what Jesus was saying right then. And I think he was in a pretty good place as far as he could tell. You know, he's having supper with Jesus and he's spending time still with Jesus. The thought of failing, thought of denying Jesus seemed impossible in that moment. Besides, even if everybody else forsook him, Peter had said, I'm not going to leave you. I'm going to be there if everybody else leaves. But that's not how it went. And this story, I feel like, serves a strong reminder to us of just how fragile our abilities really are and how our strength is really not as strong as we think it is on our own. 10 verse 12 says, wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. Proverbs 16:18, pride goeth before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. We all, each and every one of us, we struggle with this thing called pride. We struggle with thinking that we are better than we really are. Now, some people are arrogant, and it reeks off of them, the arrogance and the how much they think that they are better than everybody. But there's others of us that it may not be so obvious to everybody, but it might be in a sense that we think we're okay. We think that after all, we were living for God all right. You know, and I still pray, and I read my Bible, and I live for God, and I fast, and I do all these things, and so I'm okay. I'm going to be there with Jesus. But whenever the rubber meets the road, and whenever all of a sudden we're faced with that situation like Peter was, where we have to make a choice, am I going to identify with him or am I going to deny him? In that moment is when all of a sudden it really gets tested. Our flesh is so capable of lying to us, to tell us that we've arrived or that we're actually something or that we don't need God. But I wonder if we could just take a moment to reflect on the roosters that have been in our life. Talking about the times when we've fallen short, the times when I was ready to walk out on God, or I did walk out on God. Times whenever I made bad choices. Times whenever I was so cold and distant that it was a miracle that I was able to find my way back to church. Times whenever I'd pray and I didn't feel anything. Times when I couldn't pray. Times whenever life was up to my eyes, it seemed, and I couldn't seem to live right. I couldn't seem to do anything right. Those times when the rooster crowed in my life. The times when, rather than make a God-conscious choice, we make the flesh-conscious choice. Nobody likes to think about the bad times or the times that we've blown it. But I believe that our faults and our shortcomings are not the will of God. I do not believe it's God's will that we ever get to a place that when we sin or we fall short of him, that we start to blame God and say, well, that, you know, God led me to do that. The Bible says we got to be careful, because let no man say he's tempted of God. God does not lead us to a place of temptation in order to let us fall. What happens is, the Bible says that man is drawn away by his own lusts and by his own ideas and his own inner struggle is what draws us away from God to a place that we find ourselves making bad decisions with bad consequences, and that we're in a place that all of a sudden we're away from God and distant and distracted. These lessons, we ought to reflect on these things in our life. We ought to look back to the times that we didn't serve God like we were supposed to. The times that we look back and we say, man, I was so far from God. I made some dumb decisions. I made some bad choices. But I look back and I say, look at the mercy that God had. Look at how he reached back and he pulled me back to the fold. Look at how his righteousness, it wasn't my righteousness. I was worthless, but how he reached back with his righteousness and he clothed me in it so that I'm not living that way today. It's the mercy and grace of the Almighty God that any one of us would be in this house today and that any one of us could be used in his kingdom. 1 Corinthians 6:11 says, "And such were some of you, but you are washed, you are sanctified, you are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God." Now, thankfully, Peter denying Jesus and all that he went through and all that he did, that wasn't the end of Peter's story. It would have been a sad story if that was the end of it, and all of a sudden Peter, he had denied God and he went wayward and astray. But you see, Peter's attitude was one of brokenness. The Bible says he wept bitterly. He was tore up about his decisions that he had made to not live for God the way he thought he would. And so because of Peter's brokenness and because of Peter's attitude and humility, the Bible talks about how God began to use Peter mightily. We find that it was a very short time later that Peter was the one that preached the message of salvation on the day of Pentecost. Peter was the one that was used to do many miracles, signs, and wonders. It was Peter's shadow that they would lay sick people in and watch them get healed because Peter had an anointing about him. This was after he had fallen. This was after he had denied Jesus. It was after this that Peter began to be visited by angels in a prison. It was after this that Peter preached and got thrown in prison for preaching and served God even in prison. Peter was the one that God used to open the door to salvation for the Gentiles, that made a way that even you and I today would have access to God and have a relationship with God. It's because of this man named Peter that had fallen, that had had a right attitude and a humble spirit about him. And God said, "I can use that. He may be broken. He may be messed up, but I can use that." And so Peter is the one that went to Cornelius's house. And he was the one that bridged the gap so that now you and I can have a relationship with Jesus Christ. And Peter, he ultimately died is a martyr, giving his life for Jesus. In the end, Peter really did. He did give his life for Jesus. He really did die for the cause of the gospel. He died for the cause of trying to further the kingdom. But Peter, like all of us, had had moments where he wasn't on top of the mountain. There was times in Peter's life he wasn't proud of. As Peter, I can just imagine as he stood on the day of Pentecost and he looked out across these people and there was a boldness upon him that said, "These people are not drunk like you think. This is the Holy Ghost being poured out." There was people that probably thought Peter was crazy. There was people that probably said, "This guy's nuts. Don't you know he's one that can't even, he denied Jesus. He didn't even stay with Jesus." Oh, who knows what they said? But Peter, he wasn't worried about that. He got up and he said, "This is the way to salvation." He stood up with a boldness that comes from an anointing that comes from having been forgiven and being washed in his righteousness and not ours. And so I'm thankful that God has mercy on each and every one of us. I'm thankful that he didn't hold my transgressions against me. It was in Psalms, I don't remember the exact chapter, where the psalmist says to be thankful for all the benefits that he loads us daily with. But that's what we preach on. But that wasn't the focus. The focus was, I believe it's the next verse or two, where it says, "He has not rewarded us according to our iniquity." Hey, thank God that he didn't take the sins that I've committed and say, "Hey, I'm going to punish you according to that. You deserve to die. The wages of sin are death." But instead, God had mercy and grace. And he said, "Hey, you may be broken. You may have fallen, you may be down, you may have messed up, but I'm here to give you another chance. I'm here to give you some righteousness that you can be clothed with." I'm thankful to know him today. I'm thankful to know a God like that. If we could stand as I close, I wonder if today we could just look back over the roosters in our life, the times that we weren't all we were supposed to be, the times that we weren't all that God wanted us to be. I know we don't like to look at that. I don't like to dwell on those things, but I believe they're there because God says, hey, I'm not holding it against you. I'm not trying to get you beat down, but I want you to remember that you're not perfect. I want you to remember that when you're humble and you're broken, that I can still do something with you, that I can still use you. But oh, in the moments that we think we've got it all together, and I'm preaching to myself as much as anybody, the moments that we think it's all together and that we're just fine and that it's going to be okay, those are the moments that are the most dangerous. Those are the moments when the devil capitalizes on our complacency. Those are the moments that landed David with an illicit relationship with Bathsheba. Those are the moments that landed Peter in this position. Those are the moments that get us caught up, is when we think we've got it all together. Oh, today I wonder, can we search our heart and say, God, I want to make sure that I'm still depending on you. I want to make sure that I don't forget that about the rooster. I don't want to forget about what you said was going to happen that I did. I don't want to forget the times I've forsaken you. I'm reminded of a song that I'm not going to sing it, but there was a man in our church growing up that he used to sing. I just saw him recently, that he used to sing a song called Remind Me, Dear Lord. And the chorus of it says, roll back the curtain of memory now and then. Show me where you brought me from and where I could have been. Remember, I'm human and humans forget. So remind me, dear Lord. Remind me the things that I love and hold dear to my heart are just borrowed. They're not mine at all. Jesus only, let me use them to brighten my light. So remind me, dear Lord. The second verse says, nothing good have I done to deserve God's own son. I'm not worthy of the scars in his hands. Yet he chose the road to Calvary to die in my stead. And why he loves me, I just can't understand. Today, I want to make sure that I'm still leaning on him. I want to make sure that my strength and my source of everything comes from him. I want to make sure that I'm walking in his righteousness and not trying to depend on mine, because I don't want to have another rooster encounter. Oh, today, could we just talk to him? Jesus, we need you. God, I need you today. Have your will, have your way at this place, God. Let your will be done in my life. I need you, Lord. I need you, Lord. I need you, Lord, today. Have your way, Jesus. Have your way, Jesus.
You know, the Lord has spoken to us today. I feel like that he's given us a message. He's given us a message that we need to heed the warning signs. Oh, when the freeway is flat, when it's straight, when there's several lanes, it's easy to go fast and things are going good. Sometimes he puts a warning in our life and says, hey, you better pay attention. Hey, you better be careful. You might be cruising along good now, but there's danger ahead. You need to watch and pray. You need to take time. Help us to take time, Lord. Help us to take time to heed the warnings. I wonder today if we could just take a few moments. Ask God to help us. He's talked to us today. We need to heed the call.
We need you. Just immediately after, very shortly thereafter, suddenly now, he didn't have that same fight to go whack off somebody's ear. Suddenly now, he's afraid. Suddenly now, he's running. Suddenly now, he's hiding. Suddenly now, he's trying to separate and distance himself from the very one that he said he would never, ever, ever deny. It can happen to us. Just because we're cruising along now at freeway speeds, so to speak, doesn't mean that we couldn't end up in a major, major spiritual collision, come to a dead stop. 3 months from now, we could be in a bad place, so far from God. Oh, it pays to listen. It pays to pay attention to the signs that God provides.